Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Me, oh my, there's a lot to buy. There is shopping I must do. Happy Easter to you.
Here's a hat that you must take.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Easter.
Yeah, that's welcome to Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter special here on KPHX 1480 AM. And yes, the day before Easter, so we're going to celebrate Easter, a lot of things today. And instead of an Easter egg hunt, we're going to have a Dave and Greg hunt. We're searching for Isaacs. I found one. I found an Isaac egg. Yeah, so... Yeah, happy Easter, Dave.
Happy, where am I? Oh, here I am.
See, now here, you're playing the same game.
Oh, I don't hear me. Oh.
Am I on? Hear you.
I don't hear me. Oh.
Happy Easter. Look, another Isaac.
Happy. There I am. I hear me now.
Yeah?
So happy Easter. What is that?
That is an Easter song. It's called Happy Easter. It's from a very famous movie.
Let me guess it.
Happy Easter. With Judy Garland?
Yes, with Judy Garland.
Wizard of
Easter Parade.
Wizard of Rabbits.
What? Yeah, the Easter Parade. Oh, yeah. This is, of course, Fred Astaire singing with a bunch of very beautiful
Gene
women
Kelly.
With Easter bonnets. They're buying Easter bonnets.
They are?
Yeah, my favorite line is in the beginning. Me, oh my, there's a lot to buy. We've got shopping to do. Yeah.
Oh, don't say shopping in front of Trish.
I mean... It's Easter, so of course we got to go shopping because that's what it's all about, right?
Oh, I thought it was about Jesus.
It is. Wait a minute. I thought it was about rabbits.
I thought it was when Jesus rose from the dead.
You know, I read about rabbits because we have a rabbit guest.
Yeah.
What's it called? Mad Hatter, I think.
Mad Hatter.
And
rabbits?
I was reading about
a couple rabbit guests.
We've got two rabbit guests.
Oh, yeah. I read the second one. Who was the second one?
We've got on someone from the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum up in Tucson.
That's right. And I read that. Now I know why rabbits multiply so much.
Because they get eaten in the first year.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually read that.
Wow.
I read that too, and I was astounded. Now I know why. So it wasn't just because they're socially sophisticated.
Yeah.
It's because, and like to have fun, it's because they die.
Well, and you know what?
That's so sad.
What did it say? Like 70-some%?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Die in their first year?
Even the jackrabbits, this is the cottontails, the little ones, but the jackrabbits even have problems.
Well, you know, and some of them actually die at the hands of humans, as we'll find out with our guest from Mad Hatter Rabbits.
Oh, the hands of humans?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes.
Actually, the cars of humans. In Idaho, it's like people drive like they're drunk because they're darting around the jackrabbits as much as they can because, yeah.
Well,
That's
too.
Like that in my neighborhood.
I was actually going for the organic rabbit meat that people eat.
Oh, rarebit.
Because this is, of course, Breakthrough Entertainment, and we are a family show.
Oh, did I miss something?
No.
Oh, when you said family show, I thought I got censored.
Did the format change?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, Eric, how did Joseph...
Greg's here. We've got. I found another Isaac.
Yeah.
And now I found all the Easter eggs, so there we go.
Not all of them. There's a few more.
There's a few more.
Maybe in Europe, too.
Well,
we're not
Eric,
sure.
If you remember from last week, Eric said he and Kathleen were going to hide eggs around the studio.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I said that, but we never did do it.
Oh, no.
You know what? You should have just said that, yes, yeah, we did do that.
I have 100 kids coming over.
We would have been looking, and we never would have found anything, and it would have been hilarious.
That would have been good. Hey.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
This is our Easter special, and we've got a lot of movies to talk about today, but also a lot of special guests.
I've seen two of them.
You've seen two movies that we're going to talk about?
Two of them, yeah.
I know one's Joe.
Yeah. Another one?
Is Transcendence.
No.
13 Sins.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's a Small Time? I mean,
Small Time? You saw Small Time?
No, or could it be Bears?
I don't know.
13 Sins looks good.
No.
Wow, 13 Sins does
look
good,
doesn't it?
Well, we'll find out if it's good.
Which one is left?
And Joe looks good, too. You said Joe wasn't good.
We don't know.
We don't know that.
Oh, you couldn't talk about it?
Well, we couldn't talk about it, right?
Oh, okay.
No. Well, I don't. What else is left? What other movies are we talking about?
You had like six of them.
I know. There's so many. I lost track.
Heaven is Real.
Heaven is Real. Did you see Heaven is Real?
I saw that.
Oh, well, that.
I didn't
see, we are going to get to the Christ part of
it. Last night, early in the evening, I saw it. I don't have a problem.
We're on the air.
Here.
We're live.
Yeah,
Dave.
We're live. Yeah, I saw it. So I'll have my review coming up. Oh, very
in just
soon.
A few minutes. Yeah, because that's the movie that we're going to start off with today.
Yes.
Because in honor of
based
Easter,
based on a true story, by the way.
Because in all seriousness, Easter is about the resurrection of Christ, and so we've got to put the religious aspect in the show.
So
and
it's not about Easter eggs.
No,
or bunnies.
No, new life. New life.
Or
the
chocolate?
Resurrection of Christ is new life, and so the bunnies and the eggs all represent new life. Spring represents new life.
The so bunnies, that's the, when they're born, they make the,
so that's
how
the
is that
pagan,
new life?
That's
70%
the pagan aspect.
Oh,
that's
uh-oh,
the pagan
I'm in trouble
aspect
now.
Versus the religious aspect.
Oh, I got
it. Where do all the eggs come from, though? Is that from Christ?
Oh, from the womb.
No, the bunnies lay the eggs.
The bunnies lay the eggs. Well, I thought they laid the jelly beans.
Eric, I thought it was from the womb.
Oh, no, the jelly beans come from David Klein, one of our other guests.
I read all about him. Oh, what a sad, interesting story, but hopefully comes back with
new life.
I started to watch the documentary,
yeah?
But I just didn't have the time to finish it. I got about 10 minutes into it.
Yeah, the life
well,
of David
But I read
Klein.
Up on it.
Okay, very good.
So did I, and... but he has a new candy coming out this Christmas, or was it last Christmas?
It might have been last Christmas, possibly.
And I'm not going to say what it was.
Okay, well, I think I know.
I don't think
you
can say it on there.
He's had some pretty gross names for his candy.
Yeah,
I used to eat some of that candy.
Oh, that might explain a few things.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. We love Joseph.
You know what also
good.
I eat? Hickman's eggs.
And you have a frozen duck.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
or a duck named Frozen.
Yes. Well, we're going to get to that as well today for our Easter special. But we've got on Charmin Hickman from Easter Eggs. She's out at the Wigwam today. She's going to be on location, kind of like both our expert on the eggs and also our on location reporter today. She's at the egg roll, the governor's egg roll.
Oh, wow. Woo. And not only that, they are very charitable. Them and Dunkin' Donuts combined somehow 100,000 eggs contributing to the food bank.
Yeah.
St. Mary's?
St. Mary's, yeah.
But can you? How does a Dunkin' Donut and an egg farm get together?
I don't know. I've seen that at the fair where they slice the donut in half and they put an egg on it, and then it's a nice breakfast.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yeah, they make a donut sandwich, but they also, if you ever think about it, you know, if you put an egg on the counter, it likes to roll. If you just stick the end of it in the hole of the donut, it sits up.
Hey, there you go.
Oh.
We are all about solutions here on. Yeah, solutions here on Breakthrough
Entertainment.
Until
you eat it.
I never knew that.
What do you eat first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, the egg or the donut?
Oh, that was good.
Eat the donut while you're cooking the egg.
Wow.
And, of course, one of our celebrity guests today, we have on Marlon Wayans. He'll be telling us all about A Haunted House 2.
Oh, I saw the trailer on that. And what else?
And, well, isn't that enough? We've got a
lot
going on.
We have Luke Reichel, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Luke Reichel. See,
how did
I forget about
that?
This? I know. He's going to tell us all about Easter bonnets.
Joseph emailed you.
Yeah, I
emailed
you.
Oh, yeah.
Luke Reichel.
But how did he not know that then?
Too much sugar this
good
morning.
Point.
It has been a very stressful week. You know, these holiday specials, they really get to me.
Yeah, but look how great a job you've done.
And in the meantime, I'm also planning the next 2 weeks' shows, which we'll tell you about later on in today's show.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm also trying to
plan. Is it a Disneyland show?
No, well, no.
A Jamaica show, man?
Maybe. I don't know, but
Las
you're
Vegas?
Not saying anything about my facial hair here.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
You're in the beard-a-thon. You got a beard-a-thon
for
the hockey player.
No, I'm not doing the beard-a-thon, but I'm trying to do another character for a movie that we're celebrating next
Russell
week.
Russell Crowe.
No.
No, he's got, it's almost Joe. Like Fu Manchu. Almost.
Yeah, Joe, name it.
If it's Mutton Chops.
Mutton Chops,
okay.
The Wolverine.
And if I was
Wolverine.
If I was cracking some
Wolverine.
Safes. No.
No, you going to come through?
Oh, wait, say
some safes.
Hello?
Safes?
Did you hear me? Yes, you're there.
I'm on. I don't hear me.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You know why? You know why I don't hear it? My headset's on low. I'll make it louder in a sec. As long as I know I'm on, that's good. But yeah, Wolverine, right?
No.
Oh. Well, how many times did you say no?
A bunch of times. Cracking safes. I'm cracking safes.
Who the hell said
for our safe cracking show next week?
Did you say fracking?
No.
That's gas.
Dom Hemingway.
Yeah, that's chemicals.
Oh, Dom Hemingway.
Yeah, it's not working that
way. Oh, Jude Law.
Yeah, Jude Law.
Jude Law.
But we'll see. Because I'm planning for my halfway to Halloween bar crawl next week.
Are you going to get some Baby Rambos?
We're going to have to see. I want you guys to help me pick out a costume today.
Do you want me to go with you and be your manager as you meet Baby Rambos?
Where I would like you to go with me is to the auditions for Big Brother. They're going on today right after the show.
Not Big Sister? I want
you
want to
be on Big Brother?
Of course.
Never
it is a lifelong dream,
but
unfortunately
the show.
I doubt
they
that
actually
I'm going to be
the auditions out here?
Yeah, they're
the show's based in
no, but they're doing open cost casting calls, and we're actually going to tell you all about it during the last segment of today's show.
When is it?
If you want to know where, if you want to know how, and if you want to know why and when, we will let you know.
What is a Big Brother?
Dave, there's an age limit, I think, right?
Who, what, when, where, and why?
I can be Big Daddy.
It's all coming up.
Who's your daddy?
You are my Big Daddy.
Oh my God. Wait, so what is Big Brother?
It's a reality show.
And what do they
CBS.
Do? Oh, you become a brother to someone?
No. Big Brother sees everything. That kind of thing.
You would want to do
no,
that?
No. They're in the under the microscope, and then they get voted off by people. They all live in a house.
And they all argue and fight.
And then people get voted out.
And then people get voted out.
You get nominated. Yeah. There's competitions. Mm-hmm.
Why is there an age limit on that then?
There's not. He's joking.
But
we'll tell you all about it a little bit later on today's show.
If you want to apply.
I want to apply. Yeah, let's
go. How long would I have to be in a house with you?
3 months. It depends. If people like you, it could be. Yeah,
three
no
months.
Way, Jose.
You
You're with me, baby.
It.
3 months?
Yes.
For 24/7?
So can you do the show for 3 months?
Without you get voted out?
No.
Wait, there's.
I'm not getting voted out.
Wait, guys, that's how it works,
there's
right?
There's an absolutely huge issue here. What will Frozen do while you're gone for 3 months?
I have no idea.
Good question.
Who will actually watch? Someone will watch him?
You mean he can't come
with Frozen, I think, could come with
him. You know, I think that would be great TV to have Frozen the duck. But what if someone goes after him right away? There's some crazy.
And then cook dinner.
They'll get voted off. They'll get voted off.
What if Frozen gets voted off?
I don't know. Then I would have to go with him.
24/7? And you're gone for 3 months?
Yeah.
Can you call in to do the radio?
No, there's no outside contact.
I think we'll let him have a pass just for that.
But you could talk about me on the air, so you got to get me on Big Brother.
And
I'm
then
not
we
sure
could,
if I'm
and then
the
we could get all though. We could get everybody to vote for him
oh
to
my.
Stay on. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get all of our listeners, but we'll tell you all about that and more, including Easter bunnies bonnets, as you said about with Luke Reichle calling in a little bit later on in our
Is
next
it
segment. Actually, Reichle, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
We've had him on before, and so
fashion
he's going to
tell designer,
us.
Fashion designer, really cool dude.
He's going to tell us about hats, of course. You know, we want to, Easter bonnets.
Easter bonnets.
Of course, because we're all wearing our Easter bonnets today. No, we're not. I'm curious why that.
Why don't you have one on? You usually wear stuff like that.
I know, don't I?
It's actually going to be for Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
I'm going to wear a hat.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'll have to bring it
here. Trisha's going to Kentucky Derby.
What, with you?
Oh, with me.
Oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
No,
this looks like news
to Dave.
Oh, yeah. And that should be a lot of fun.
Well, he's going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. So let's get to our first movie. Of course, we are celebrating Easter. And as we said earlier, a big part of that, probably the main part, is the resurrection of Christ. So let's get to the religious aspect of Easter.
For Christians, because, of course, for the people of Jewish faith, Passover just happened.
Yes, that as well.
Oh, yeah. And let's see. That's Yom Kippur. But what's the other one? Oh, shoot. I should know this. Okay,
let's just talk about Heaven is for Real instead of that. Greg Kinnear and Kelly Reilly portray a real-life married couple whose son, played by Connor Corum, claims to have visited heaven during a near-death experience, recounting the details of his amazing journey with childlike innocence and speaking matter-of-factly about things that happened before his birth. It's inspired by a true story.
Yes.
It's actually inspired by a book that was written by the father
that's
Greg Kinnear portrays.
Yeah.
And
I can't wait to see what
you can't wait to see what I was
down.
Thinking of it.
I just can't take Greg Kinnear seriously in anything he does.
Well, really,
he did okay. I
like Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, so do
he was phenomenal in You've Got Mail, one of the greatest movies of our time.
He was in You've Got Mail.
He was great on Talk Soup years ago, but
I wasn't being serious.
Yeah, I was going
to
say he
serious?
Wasn't there.
I was.
Oh,
You've Got Mail.
No, he wasn't.
You've
Got Mail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you really do.
Yeah.
Oh,
I loved You've Got Mail.
Oh. It is a great
I sort of
movie.
Like You've Got
you're,
Female.
You're wrong. All right. Well, before we get to our comments about the movie, I actually spoke with the author of the book, of Heaven is for Real. Again, this is inspired by this book, which was inspired by the true story. The book was written by Todd Burpo, who is Greg Kinnear's character, or Greg Kinnear plays this guy, sorry. And so I got a chance to speak with Todd, and you can read the full interview, hear the full interview on BreakRadioShow.com. But here, let's listen to a quick clip from Todd as he was talking to me about Heaven is for Real. Here we go.
Hold on.
Oh, we're holding.
You know that actually that book.
All right, ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I think when you work with issues of faith and life after death and all those questions we've all asked, I think people need to know that no one has all the answers, and there's a struggle in finding the right answers. And this movie is going to walk through that struggle. the struggle of faith, the struggle of hurting, the struggle of rejoicing, and balancing all those. When I've seen audiences watch this film, I've seen them cry and then cheer and everything in between. It's incredible how they connect. And I think everyone's going to watch this family, going to connect with a mom and a dad and almost losing a child and a big sister standing up for a little brother. All that comes to play in this film. But I think that the biggest thing that I hope people are going to find is the hope and peace that, you know, here's a child, how my son shared with us, now he gets to share with everybody. I think, how can you go to a movie about faith and have an uncompromising message and not be preachy? It's to have a child tell the story. And that's what's going to happen here in movie theaters. And he's going to connect with people's hearts. He's going to connect with their heads. He's going to challenge and give people hope. And I think hopefully when people walk out of this movie, they're just going to go, wow. And that's what I want people to be able to experience.
And I believe that Christian audiences will go wow. They're going to love this movie, and that's going to go down extremely well with them. And
so this is a religious flick?
Yeah, a religious flick, yeah.
And so we can mute this part, Eric.
Yes. But
no. Well, we got Greg Kinnear in there, so you've got some star power, and Kelly Riley, who is beautiful as well, right?
I have no idea who she is.
Hold
on a minute. Now, the thing is that when you say, I would say it's a spiritual movie, not so much a religious movie, because people of all different faiths believe in heaven.
Yes.
So it's not just a Christian thing, and like he said, it's not a preachy thing. I think everybody wonders if this life is it or if there's something beyond it.
Yeah, whether you call it heaven
or
not.
After it.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it, in this child's experience, what he experienced was what he had been taught in church was heaven.
Yes.
But no matter who, so to me, I've read the book.
Okay.
And I've been a pediatric nurse, and I did pediatric oncology for quite some time. And so I've had children who have passed, and I've had children who have survived. And I've heard this type of a story recounted many times. And this book has made its rounds around our hospital floor on multiple occasions. But I have not seen the movie. But just so you know, I don't feel like it's just particularly for Christians.
I would agree. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that. And you know, I wish that they would have focused a little bit more on that, not necessarily is heaven real or not. You know, I wish that they would have focused on, you know, just the faith of believing that there is something after death.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, I did not like this movie. I found it extremely hard to swallow because it expected me to take everything that it was saying as gospel. And, without asking any questions, it did not want to answer any questions. Even when certain characters ask questions, they're kind of just disregarded. And it's just taken as let's throw logic out the window and just take this as, you know, as a matter of fact.
Well, a much better film that really shows that there's something up there after you pass is, of course, this is the end.
Up there?
Yeah.
This is the end, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you show you go up to heaven, you have the Backstreet Boys, and everyone
dancing
around.
You get beamed up like on Star Trek.
Yeah, absolutely. It's phenomenal.
I thought that you were going to talk about the What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams.
You know, I actually have never seen that.
That is a very good
spiritual movie.
Okay. Yes.
Not a bad movie.
Right. Okay. That one is a great movie. Yes. And of course, again, I'm giving it a thumbs down. I did not much care for Heaven Is For Real, and I am curious to hear what Dave has to say, because you saw it, right?
I did. Well, here it is. I thought it was extremely slow. Slow moving. Would you agree, Joseph?
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it was very slow.
The trailer was slow, and it's only a minute long.
And it was sort of...
Even with Greg Kinnear?
Yeah, it just... And the way they shot it was very short snippets of experiences, so it didn't draw it out, and so they tried to make it fast, but it ended up slow. I was a little tired, so I did fall asleep in a couple places, a couple minutes.
I was struggling myself.
Yeah, and not more than maybe 5 minutes total. But I thought it was simple, yet somewhat profound, depending what viewpoint you take. I thought it was great acting by the little boy. I'm going to give a nice shout-out for this little kid. I don't know how old he was. But how old is that kid?
I don't know.
But I thought it was pretty good acting. Yeah. I thought he was very good. The topic was better than the movie.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And which the book might be better than the movie as well.
And that's why, Trisha, I totally understand what you're saying. And especially if you read the book, you probably get a much better understanding.
I'll fix that microphone at the break.
There. Yeah.
There we go. I got another right by the mic.
It just keeps rising. It just keeps rising.
But it wasn't.
It's Christ.
Finally, you know. Okay, you know, pills can do that. But interesting opening.
Oh,
and
gosh.
What?
Go ahead. Just continue. Go ahead.
But interesting open. You see how I slid that in during the review?
At
that
least
was
he
good,
didn't
Eric,
say it
right?
when he said Joel's
yes, Viagra and
his movie reviews.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Same sentence.
It was an interesting opening and an ending. Interesting. Not profound, but interesting the how they pieced something else together on another experience from a young kid way across the.
Well, I thought that the ending was kind of annoying and anticlimactic. I couldn't wait for the movie to be over. Again, we're speaking about Heaven is for Real. I could not wait for the movie to be over, but unfortunately, I also was kind of like, well, that's it? You know, so very anticlimactic. I was like,
it wasn't
where's
tight.
The conclusion just, for this movie?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just going to kind of end in this church.
It got me interested to read about that little girl that they talked about and wherever it is. So I did. It created some curiosity and a little bit more on the little boy, you know, even though they said he's a normal teenager now, but the sister said he's no angel. So
absolutely.
The thing is, I really want to give it a thumbs up.
Yes.
I want to. And I would. I think a thumb sideways. Can we do that?
I don't do that, but you can do whatever you'd like. I like to take a stand.
Sideways is his favorite movie.
It is. Yes. I think you actually off the air will give it a thumbs down, but you're just trying to be
okay.
Politically
I agree. I'm going to agree with Greg on this one. I say it's a thumbs down, but maybe the book. And I agree with Trisha. I think the book might be well worth reading.
Okay.
And I haven't, but if you say it is, I'm going to trust that. So, Greg, you're right. Thumbs down. Oh, okay. It looks like he's throwing up.
Oh,
yeah. Thumbs down.
No.
Trisha, I think you're right. Read the book first.
I can't say what I saw, but when I was looking something up for our hockey show, there's a story on the side that's pretty gross. Well,
hold on to the hockey.
Yeah.
Well, and so I think we agree.
Speaking of books, just I wanted to mention another book that you might be interested in. Echo Bodine has written a book, What Happens When We Die. We keep trying to get her on the show, and unfortunately, it's just the timing never works out. But we're going to have her on the show one of these times.
Okay.
She's a psychic, but she's also kind of an expert in what happens when we die, and you know the grieving process as well. As well as what happens after death.
She's an expert in knowing what happens after you die. Is that what you just said?
Yes, she's a psychic.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yes, and but all right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break we bring on our guest.
Would she
guest.
Tell me if I'm dead right now or
she
alive?
She might. Yes.
She might.
Yes. Well, this
you're not dead, baby.
In the you're next dead segment, to me, Dave.
In the next segment, we will bring on Luke Reichle. He will tell us all about Easter bonnets and other hat fashions. And but at the singing us into the break is Ella Fitzgerald. A tisket, a tasket, because, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter basket for our listeners.
And tisket, a tasket. And this is 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is a story of Josie the horse with the Easter bonnet.
Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, clippity-clippity-clippity-clop.
Josie the horse was harnessed to a carriage in Central Park. Oh, Flaherty was the driver who...
And this is 1480.
What I want to know is how Joseph knows the lyrics to all these songs.
Well, that's pretty scary.
I've been listening to
this. Okay, that's my singing.
I've been listening to our Easter special soundtrack for the last, like, several weeks.
How's it going? Are we still doing the Christmas soundtrack for
Breakthrough? Of course. Okay. Our Christmas
best of
CD. We're doing
We're going to do a CD.
We're going to do, like, a CD.
You had
CD
a great idea last. It was on the air, though. We forgot. What was it?
I just said a CD.
No, there's something else.
Discuss it off the air.
We'll discuss it off the air.
Because right now, well, of course, this is
put it on Josie's head.
Josie's head. I just want to sing along to it. But anyway, Gene Autry is singing us into our segment, Horse with the Easter Bonnet. Have you ever heard this song?
No, I've heard of Gene Autry, though. Original owner of the California Angels at that time.
All right.
I think he owned Channel 5 as well.
Yes, he did, and he was a singer. Although you could never tell it here.
Come on. No. All right. Well, you know who is an expert, maybe not at singing, but an expert at fashion? It's Luke Reichle, and he's going to tell us all about Easter bonnets and other hat fashions. And so we have him on right now. Thank you for joining us, Luke.
Well, you're very welcome. Happy Easter, and happy Easter bonnet to you.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter to you.
And of course, we spoke with you about a month ago on our How I Met Your Mother special. You told us all about suits, right?
Right, that's right.
And so we thought that it would be a great idea to bring you back on to tell us all about Easter bonnets. So I wanted to start us off by saying, you know, this trend of Easter bonnets, I don't know, maybe I'm just not familiar with it anymore, but it seems to have gone away. So, Luke, do you know anything about when it started and how it started?
Well, it started in the Easter bonnet, dressing for Easter. The Easter bonnet is an outgrowth of what we think of as buying new clothes for Easter and having new clothes for Easter. And it goes pretty far back. You can go back to the reign of Constantine, the first Christian emperor, who made it a trend to have new clothes in order to celebrate Easter. And Easter has always been about rebirth and, repurposing things. And so Easter became, if you weren't wealthy enough to buy new clothes, then you refurbished your old ones. And that was especially true of hats, because hats were expensive to make, milliners were very expensive, and women spent a lot of time and their resources in refurbishing and retrimming their hats. So it was really came to a peak in the late 19th century, but really dropped off in the 60s. You know, Jacqueline Kennedy, for instance, very much thought of as responsible for a lot of fashion trends in the 60s. And what we don't really know is that her husband, Jack, was primarily responsible for the death of men wearing hats.
Wow.
Because he stopped wearing hats in public. And eventually men stopped wearing hats. Up until that point, men did not go out in public without a hat on.
That's fascinating. Fascinating stuff.
Now, do you think that there was somewhat of a resurgent in hats with the Will and Kate marriage, with all the fascinators and everything that showed up?
Well, every time you know someone in the English aristocracy, you know, gets married, died, or christened, there's a hat resurgence. I don't think it affects so much the public use of hats, but it certainly affects the public interest. And there were, and you just saw so many pictures of the hats around the time of that wedding, and you really can't get better than the English aristocracy for kooky hats. That's for sure. You know, unless you go to an African American church, the church ladies in the Southern Baptist Church, mm-hmm. you really can't hold a candle to them for size and color and shape.
Oh yeah, something to match every outfit.
The outfit, everything matches. The hat mm-hmm. color, the suit color, the dress color, and the flowers match as well.
Yes, very flamboyant and beautiful. Wow.
Yeah.
And so there are actually there were parades that people would show off their fashions, or is that
absolutely? Yeah, Easter parade. These parades started in the late 19th century, late 1880, and the most famous one is the one in New York. The Easter parade one in New York, which starts at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and at its peak, it had about 1 million people joining in and spectators. But in recent years, it's dropped down to about 30,000, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
But if you want to have a look at some great hats with some great groups of people who put hats and looks together, Google New York Easter Parade, because it's a treat.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, I want to remind our listeners that right now we're speaking with Luke Reichle. You can check out his website, www.secretsoftheredcarpet.com. Again, that's secretsoftheredcarpet.com. And his latest book is called It's Not About the Clothes. It's on sale for $1.99, so we'll go ahead and talk to you about that in just a moment. But so what are the hot fashions right now in terms of men's hats and women's hats? What if we want to be hip and in the know?
Well, you know, men's hats have actually had a resurgence in the past several years. And it came, as many things do in men's style, from the music scene. So musicians started wearing what we would call a pork pie hat, which is a fedora with a short brim.
Breaking Bad.
Right, exactly right. And that's a very flat brim pork pie. And that hat hasn't been as adopted as the higher, sort of slightly higher crown, shorter brim pork pie that you've been seeing on, you know, musicians and hipsters.
Kanye,
it really is not hit the mainstream, but you're seeing it a lot more. And, you know, what happened with women in terms of not wearing hats anymore is the hats got smaller and smaller, and the pillbox was sort of the last vestige of the hat in the 60s that was really popular. And then Vidal Sassoon created his emblematic haircut for women, that geometric haircut. And once that happened, and once that kind of hairstyle became popular, women didn't want to mess with their hair. And they really stopped wearing hats at that point.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And so now you, something I forgot to tell our listeners is you are a costume designer in Hollywood for several shows, and probably the big one, I think we talked about it last time, is for Castle. So is there, do you find a big need from producers and stuff asking you to outfit the characters with hats, or is that your decision when trying to come up with the characters?
Well, you know, it's always a very specific choice when you use a hat on camera. One, because it affects the lighting, and if you can see the actor's eyes. And I've actually had hats taken off of the actors by the cinematographers because they were a little daunted by being able to get light into the actor's face with a, you know, 3-foot brim. But it's also a very much of a character note when you have someone wear a hat. So there has to be a really specific reason, not only in the scene, but in who the person is. Because clothes and the image of clothes, in the end, it's so much about how you feel about your state of mind, you know. And hats now, because they're not as common, can make people feel a little conspicuous when they're wearing them, especially if they're bigger, you know, and you're not used to wearing hats. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that clothes, you know, and the reason it's really is that it's not about the clothes and it's not about the garments and it's not about the accessories, is that it is about how you create this image. And it's about not the outfit so much, but the way in which you can express your essential nature. You can express this idea of yourself visually through clothes.
And hats
would be like the icing on the cake with that.
And Luke, and I love what you've said. I mean, last time you said it, I read it again this morning, and you just said it's style, you know, is a state of mind, not a state of dress. And do you find whether professional actors or just regular people, when they put on some type of hat or some type of fashion clothes, that they actually transform their state of mind?
Absolutely. Anytime someone, I see it in fitting rooms all the time. You know, I'm dressing hundreds of actors a year, thousands of hours in the fitting room. And when anytime anyone puts on something that they're not used to wearing, whether it's a hat, whether it's an accessory, whether it's a young actor who really isn't used to wearing suits, whether it's an older actor who we're trying to, you know, convince that they need to wear tighter jeans, there is a transformation that takes place. A lot of actors tell me they find their characters when they get the right shoes, and they're not necessarily the shoes that they would wear. But that is the transformative power of style and the transformative power of fashion. And if you're feeling like, you know, a wreck and you really don't want to go out for the evening, you're trying to figure out what to wear, like, go to your favorite thing. Go to the thing that makes you feel really good, whether it's a pair of earrings or the right belt or, you know, a new pair of shoes that you bought. And, you know, build the outfit up from there. So you have a starting point of feeling great about something you're wearing.
Yes, and, you know, that is fascinating. And, you know, I think this is a great transition right now for, you know, to talk a little bit about your book. It's not about the clothes. They'll find this kind of information in the book, and it's on sale for $1.99. Where is it on sale? How can they get their hands on this book, and what other information can they find in it?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, and you can get it at my website, secretsoftheredcarpet.com. And it's not about the clothes. Came out of this idea that I kept seeing every time I had a fitting with someone, and it went on for years, that when we look in the mirror, we don't see what's there. You know, we see what we consider to be our flaws. And so the dialogue a lot of people have when they look at their reflection is very negative, you know, focusing on, oh, my God, I'm so fat, or my thighs, or, you know, my upper arms are really flabby, and you can go on from there. And so it's not about the clothes. It's really a step-by-step guide to change the way you talk to yourself when you look in the mirror and change your attitude about how you look. Because you can be wearing, and trust me, I've seen this, I can put someone in a $10,000 dress, and if they don't feel good about how they look, it's going to get in the way of their response to their image.
Oh, okay.
So my feeling is start first with your ideas and your attitudes about how you look.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that sometimes you'll hear, like if somebody will come out with just this outrageous outfit, and then you'll hear the commentator say, but that's, if anybody could do it, that's the person that can pull it off because they've got that attitude or they've got that confidence to be able to wear that out there. And I think it really does. I know, depending on how I feel I look in what I'm wearing, It'll I'll be more outgoing or I'll be more introverted based on that. And I think that's kind of what you're saying.
Absolutely. And, you know, I talk a lot about color, about how color has the effect of the impression that you're making on other people, but also how it makes you feel.
Great.
You know,
great.
And that, you know, dressing as a, you know, an act of presence. And that if you can dress from the present moment and not from your, you know, historical ideas about how you look, you have a much better chance of liking your outfit and liking how you're looking at it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot right before we let you go here in just 1 second. I've got this halfway to Halloween bar crawl coming up. I'm looking for a costume still. Last time I was dressed as Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother for Halloween. This time I was toying around with the idea of being Barney Stinson or I'm not sure. Any off-the-cuff easy costume ideas that you could suggest that I could maybe go to the thrift store and...
I think you need to watch the whole season of American Horror Coven.
Okay.
And get your notes from there.
Excellent.
It's a really well-designed show. And you'll find some things that you can work with. And things I think you'll be able to get at a thrift store. Because some friends of mine designed that show, and I know that they spent a lot of time at thrift stores working that show.
Terrific. Terrific. And, of course, everyone check out Castle on ABC. And
I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, Monday night, 10 p.m., there's a we'll be doing our 70s episode, the 70s show. Oh. And I'll be live tweeting the episode, and so you can follow me at Red Carpet Luke starting 10 p.m. Pacific time.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely be there with you, and we'd love to have you on again very soon. Again, we were speaking with Luke Reichle, fashion designer, costume designer, and all-around fashion expert. Thank you so much for celebrating Easter with us.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah. That was interesting. I was going to mention Kentucky Derby hats.
Yeah. 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 Well, there's
a lot of hats.
And the Del Mar in San Diego, when the Del Mar race is the first day, everybody's coming. And they have a theme sometimes that they'll give to people. And then the person with the hat that fits the theme the best will get a prize. And they have prizes for their hats. Ooh. Yeah, it's very cool.
What do you win, a hat?
No. Money, honey.
I had a Easter bonnet, believe it or not. Walmart had a Easter parade back when I was a little kid, and you know, all the customers walked
Walmart?
Around with their homemade Easter hats, and I had like grass and
that was no parade, that was the union.
Well, I looked just spiffy. Anyway, I don't know. I'm gonna kind of
allergies from the grass.
Yes, that too. But in the meantime,
what, you take drugs?
Let's sing about the Easter parade. Of course, this is Bing Crosby, one of our favorite singers.
I do like him.
Yeah, Bing Crosby is singing us into our break, Easter Parade.
And when we come back, we're going to find out what my favorite singer, who is my favorite singer of all time, when we come back, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
And when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fella in the Easter Parade on the Avenue.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Along. And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Wow, that was weird how I said that. Anyway, Joseph, what song is this?
DJ and the Runaways.
Never heard of it.
Are singing us into the segment.
Me neither.
Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit. Eric, you're a musician. Rabbit. You never heard of this.
I've never heard this song.
Maybe, me neither.
Maybe when I was like an infant.
Sounds like a Nat Funicello beach.
It's kind of fun. I've never heard of it either, but of course you find interesting things when you're looking for an Easter soundtrack.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's why we always have these themes on Breakthrough Entertainment, and I love and listen to these soundtracks that I make throughout the week.
And you listen to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Absolutely, I do.
And you have eclectic taste. I like that. A little something for everybody. We go from Bing Crosby to DJ who?
Yeah. DJ and the Runaways.
Okay.
I thought DJ who. And of course, speaking of eclectic tastes,
it's Doctor Who.
Of course, we are. It's our Easter special, but we're going to go from Easter to Halloween in one fall swoop. We're going to talk about A Haunted House 2. Now, I did not get a chance to see this movie. I was asked to do the interview with actor Marlon Wayans. It's a pre-recorded interview that we're going to play here in just a moment. But I was asked to not see the movie before the interview, so I just went ahead and not saw the movie. But
I saw the trailer.
You saw the trailer. What did you think of it?
I thought it looked absolutely hysterical.
Really?
It looked so funny.
And Eric, you saw the first Haunted House, or
I saw the first 5 or 10 minutes before I turned it off.
Yeah, and I unfortunately saw the whole first Haunted
House. So is this a sequel?
Yeah, this is the sequel. The first one came out, I think,
last
year.
With the same people?
Yeah, same people. Well,
I don't know. It looks funny to me. The parts that they showed.
Well, let's find out straight from Marlon Wayans. You can see on breakradioshow.com, click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner. That'll take you to our Facebook page, and you will see a picture of me smiling right there, meeting Marlon Wayans during our conversation, sitting at a table. And his hair looks real nice. His shoes are tied. And these are all some jokes that you will hear on Breakthrough Entertainment After Dark. But in the meantime, let's hear from actor Marlon Wayans about A Haunted House 2.
I am Breakthrough Entertainment film columnist Joseph J. Erdo, and today we are speaking with actor Marlon Wayans about his new comedy sequel, A Haunted House 2. So tell us, Marlon, what's up with Malcolm this time around?
Malcolm left Keisha, and he started a new relationship, and he tried a different flavor because he felt like, you know, his crazy psycho girlfriend kind of spooked him. So he went a different way, and he went for Megan, who is played by Jamie Presley, and she has two children, played by Ashley Ricard and Steele. And she's going through a teenage thing. She has a box that's haunted, is possessed. And then Steele, the son, has an imaginary friend who's getting him in all kinds of trouble, like drinking vodka. Worst imaginary friend ever. And on top of that, they move into a brand new house, which is haunted, and with this little crazy, creepy doll that Malcolm winds up running from because it's a stalker doll, but he shouldn't have probably did what he did to her. And then on top of all that, his possessed ex-girlfriend moves next door. So it's a lot of complications. So it's a fun little journey.
So, you know, you got Paranormal Activity. It sounds like you got a little bit of The Conjuring in there. What are some of the other movies that are being spoofed here?
We have The Possession. We have Sinister. We have Insidious. Insidious 2. Devil Inside. And a lot of The Conjuring. But the reality of it is, you know, it's more of a horror comedy with parody moments than it is a direct parody. It's not a direct parody. It has its own kind of story. It has some Amityville horror in it too, but it has its own kind of story and characters that you haven't seen in these other movies, some of which are staples, but others which you have not. It's a gumbo of sorts, but it's potentially a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like when they when these movies work on two levels, not just the one level. And
it sucks when you have to just keep referring to if it's pop culture reference the movie, it's not fun. I think a movie has to play. If you've never seen any of these before and you're brand new to the genre and you're brand new, you've never seen any of the movies, I don't know what planet you've been on, but if you haven't seen any of those movies, you still could enjoy the journey.
Oh, absolutely. And you're obviously a horror fan, right?
love horror. I mean, it helped me through my teenagers. What other movie do like girls get absolutely naked and then stabbed? It's like that was best porn ever.
So you know, there's got to be a deeper message to a haunted house too, though. You know, if you want people to walk away with some sort of, I mean, I'm being funny here, but if you want people to walk away with
social political message, which is get to the theater and laugh,
right?
Be a teen again. Stop. Don't worry about your bills. Don't worry about all the problems of the world. Don't worry about anything. Except for allowing yourself to just be silly, have fun, and let your hair down and just laugh. That's all.
And so that sounds like the ultimate takeaway for
I'm
audience.
I'm not going to change your life. This movie is not going to change your life. Hopefully, it'll change your mood and make you just happy.
Yeah, wonderful. And how about yourself? On the flip side of that, any introspection? What has Malcolm taught you about yourself? Two times in now.
Malcolm taught me that I am really crazed when I'm put upon. I didn't realize the levels of places that I'll go to when pressured. And, funny things come out of me when I'm pressured. And not only pressured, but I also learned through these movies that I'm absolutely completely desperate and would do I would light myself on fire for a joke. And even though I know that would happen just one time because it would burn the hell out of me, I'd probably be willing to try it once. And I'm actually a lot better in bed than I thought I was.
Okay. Exciting. So you kind of knew that you wanted to do a sequel, huh?
No. We actually waited until we had a movie.
Okay.
I was hesitant to do a sequel because I wanted to make sure I found the story that, a good progression for the character and not just go, okay, let me throw a bunch of gags together and see what works. I wanted to see if, we could progress the story and progress the journey and bring some of the old back, but, have a whole new well to pull from.
And is your mind working right now for number three?
Absolutely not. My mind is on selling number two. And, I got to see how number two does. I don't want to be cocky and be like, so for three, here's what I have for Haunted House 12. This is like, no, I don't. Let me see if the audience wants to enjoy Haunted House 2. If they like two, and I got ideas for three, but I'm not working on it right now. If two works, I'd like to do like a buddy cop comedy and a romantic comedy.
All right, that's great. Well, again, thank you very much, Marlon Wayans. Go out and check out the haunted house too.
That's good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're both tongue tied. Have a nice day.
Was he making fun of you? Laughing?
Yeah, he was making fun of me.
And why were you laughing at them, Mr.
I don't know.
Joseph?
Well, actually, because that interview is censored, you can hear the uncensored version on breakradioshow.com. Click on archives, and you can hear the full interview that includes some risque jokes. Ooh. Some that probably could have made the air, but I didn't want to upset Eric.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Eric will give you an Easter basket now.
Yeah, so I will.
I'll egg you.
Yeah. That's like spooning.
No.
If you want to hear about White Chicks too, because of course White Chicks is probably one of Marlon Wayans's
very
best
funny
movies.
Oh, hilarious,
would you agree?
Hilarious.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. I would agree.
Maybe I found my Halloween costume.
Terry Crews.
I even liked it.
I could be Black Chicks.
Oh God.
No. Okay. Maybe I'll just
Eric.
I think some people find that offensive.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll just stick.
That
with,
was Joseph saying.
All right.
But he didn't mean it the way it came out.
He's part of the FBI. That's why he has to go undercover.
It wouldn't make sense if I was being White Chick.
It wouldn't make sense if you were
being
any chick.
Here, we'll move on. But that is. But I did love it. It was
movie.
A funny movie.
And
yeah. And the original scary movie is fantastic.
The first few are.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the second as well.
And
third one's the funniest.
Charlie
Scary
Sheen
three.
Comes in,
And so of course Charlie Sheen was in the last one with Lindsay Lohan as well, right?
Lindsay Lohan. Did you
part.
See the list of
the
people she slept
part.
With?
Yeah, she was of course on Two Broke
no,
Girls.
No, Eric,
as well.
Did you see that?
I did see that.
And I saw that last night.
Did you see her Oprah
I
channel show?
I was on the list.
You were on the list?
No. No, I wasn't, but
in
but
his dream.
I replayed it a couple times because I had to get a calculator.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot for a CPA. He deals with big numbers.
Yeah.
She cried when that list was released.
Yeah, someone took a picture. It was at a 12-step program, and someone took a picture of her most sacred, secret sleep list.
Why would you write that down?
Well,
in a 12-step program, I believe you have to say things you enjoyed or regret or something like
that. Where do you keep your list?
I
We don't want to hear
about
that. I
don't have a list.
He's got it hidden. It just kind of looks like a roll of toilet paper. But
oh, oh my goodness. Did I use that? I'm sorry. I was wondering who wrote on that.
No, that's the quality of the list.
No. That's how long it is.
No, that's the quality of the list.
Oh, the quality. And tell me.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
See, all right. But anyway, check out BreakRadioShow.com.
It's a fantastic list, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that good.
Well, anyway.
And so,
we're celebrating Easter here on Breakthrough Entertainment, even though you wouldn't expect it from recent conversations.
What show is this, the Easter show?
This is the Easter special, yes. And, of course, we got a lot more coming up on in the next 2 hours.
She's doing it like a rabbit.
There you go. We've got a lot more coming up on the rest of today's show. Of course, our guests include David Klein, the creator of the Jelly Belly Jelly
Bean. I can't
wait
for this one.
Yeah, we'll talk all about his exploits there. And, of course, we've got on a real
that's easy for you to say.
And I think that actually – no, I think that's actually David Klein calling right now. We're going to have him on after the break.
Oh.
We've got a few more minutes before our break, but then, of course, we are also going to be talking about a lot more movies, including 13 Sins, Small Time, Joe, Transcendence, and Bears. So you're going to want to stick around
Bears.
For the next 2 hours.
Yes.
And,
called a bear.
We're also going to check in with Sharman Hickman from Hickman's Family Farm. She's out there at the Governor's Egg Roll and Easter
Egg Hunt. I can't
wait
for that, too. Seems like really nice people.
She's out there live. She's the Easter Egg Hunt is actually
Breaking
starting
is
in like 3 minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm out of here.
Oh, you're
now, wait a minute. Is it an Easter Egg Hunt and an egg roll?
Yes. It's a whole Easter festival.
I love egg rolls.
Okay.
Me, too.
Oh, an egg roll? Or is that an egg in the hay?
The eggs.
Is that like an egg in the hay?
And they're out at the wigwam.
Oh, that's a
like
roll
another,
in the hay.
Isn't there a food that sounds like wigwam?
Yeah, wigwam.
Oh, what
is
that?
Spaghetti. It's a type of spaghetti that you only find in Ethiopia.
Do not believe him.
What?
What?
You only find it in Euphawafia.
Euthanasia? Yeah, you're right. We are going to be talking about rabbits. Oh.
No, it's Euphawafia.
Okay. Very good.
You've never been to Euphawafia?
That's Europe, Africa, Asia.
You guys are scaring the guests.
Yeah. You know.
I think that was the wrong pill you took this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's a lot of other... Christmas music. No, Easter music on today's show.
And that's the correct number of song, correct?
Yes, number 6. We're going to and are we almost there?
We are almost there. We've got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds
so, till music.
Till music. Okay. Well, you know, and so you're just going to stick around for the next 2 hours. A lot more Easter goodness and Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter basket for our listeners here on KPHX 1480.
I'll do the PR.
Okay, you do that. And in the meantime, Gene Autry is going to take us into our
break.
Again? Yes, Gene Autry. You said he couldn't sing, but I'm going to prove you wrong.
Okay, let me
hear it. Right
here.
He was the singing cowboy.
Peter Cottontail.
Hippity-hopping Easter's on its way.
Oh, this one. I think I've heard this one.
Bring in every girl and boy.
And you think he can sing? Are you kidding me? That sounds like me when I'm sleeping. What? What did you just say?
He's got
jelly beans for mommy.
Oh.
Eggs for sister.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity happy Easter day.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.